I'm going to ask you to go ahead and turn to 2 Kings chapter number 24. We're going to be in 2 Kings 24 and then 2 Kings 25. Also, a little short blurb toward the end there. And then if you'll also turn to Jeremiah chapter number 22. 2 Kings 24 and Jeremiah 22. And we'll look at a few verses there. Last week we looked at the evil reign of Jehoiakim over Judah, and he had been elevated to that role as a puppet king by Pharaoh Necho of Egypt after having carried his brother Jehoahaz to Egypt to die. And we saw that as Babylon began to rise, they then exerted control over Jehoiakim and Judah, as Egypt's power began to wane. They at one time they were paying that tribute to them, and then it had to switch it and start paying it to Babylon. Well, Jehoiakim was an oppressive, wicked king over the people of Judah. We saw that. And when the Lord sent him his word by Jeremiah the prophet, he had the audacity to cut it up and burn that scroll that contained the Lord's prophecy against him and Judah. He rebelled against Babylon and was eventually put to death by Nebuchadnezzar, and his body was left to decay unburied beyond the gates of Jerusalem. That's where we left off. But next tonight, we're going to see Jehoiakim's son, Jehoiakim, and he was elevated to the throne of Judah by Nebuchadnezzar. So what do the scriptures have to say about Jehoiakim? And you're going to hear me use his, he's got three different names, okay? Jehoiakim, Jeconiah, and Kaniah, okay? We'll see those names used that basically mean the same thing. His name means Jehovah doth establish. So let's look at the details of Jehoiakim's reign. He came to the throne because Nebuchadnezzar placed him there, according to verse number 6 here in 2 Kings 24. Look at verse 6. So Jehoiakim slept with his fathers, and Jehoiakim, his son, reigned in his stead. Well, he was young when he began to reign. Look at verse number 8. Verse number 8 says Jehoiakim was 18 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 3 months. It says there, and his mother's name was Nehushta, the daughter of Elnathan of Jerusalem. So he only 18 years old, pretty young to be trying to lead a nation. Not as young as Josiah was, but nevertheless young. But his reign was short. It tells us here that he reigned only 3 months in Jerusalem. And 2 Chronicles 36 and verse number 9 tells us 3 months and 10 days. Got a little more specific there. Well, 10 days is not a half a month. If you do a half, get over the half, then you count it as another month. When it tells us the number of months, it doesn't get specific. Number of years, it doesn't get really specific. It's kind of like, where does it hang in there? But 3 months and 10 days. Well, we see there in verse number 8, his mother is mentioned, and we've said that before, that this usually indicates that she had a strong influence in his life and reign, and since his life and reign were evil, she probably was very wicked herself. The king's widow, but she was wicked. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to verse number 9. He did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father had done. Now, 2 Kings here says he did all he did, all that Jehoiakim did. Now, that's enough said right there. Amen. We know how wicked his dad was. His dad had the distinction of not treating the people of Judah very well, and I think we can safely say that Jehoiakim probably was not a people person himself either, if he was like his dad. Well, second thing we see the prophecy against Jehoiakim called Kaniah by Jeremiah the prophet. Let's hold your place there and don't lose your place because we'll be back. And over in Jeremiah and chapter number 22, Jeremiah 22, we see that he's called Kaniah, and Jeconiah you'll find is mentioned in 1 Chronicles 3:16, which is basically the genealogy, you know, that area of the scripture where it's really kind of hard to read. The first part of 1 Chronicles has the genealogy of what we're dealing with in 2 Kings and in 2 Chronicles. And, of course, this 2 Chronicles 36 is the corresponding passage of Scripture, 2 Chronicles 36, verse 8 through 10, if you wanted to write that down. We're not going to, I would refer over there, but I'm not going to turn over there tonight or have you turn. But we will take a look here in Jeremiah chapter number 22, as he's called Kaniah. Then look at verse 24. Says, as I live, saith the Lord, though Kaniah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, were the signet upon my right hand, yet would I pluck thee thence. That as I live is the Lord's most solemn form of an oath. And in other words, the Lord is saying, you can just, this is the way it is. You know, I mean, he was saying, you know, nothing was going to change this. The contraction there of the name Jeconiah down to Kaniah is believed to have been done in contempt. The signet ring was a stamp seal used to mark ownership. It was a symbol of royal authority, and the right hand was a symbol of power. And he said there, yet would I pluck thee thence. In other words, just as had been prophesied for his father's sin as well as his own sins, you know, they deserved what was coming. So basically what the Lord was getting to here through Jeremiah's prophecy. Look at verse number 25. It says, and I will give thee into the hand of them that seek thy life, and into the hand of them whose face thou fearest, even into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and into the hands of the Chaldeans. And remember, the Babylonians, Chaldeans, same thing. Okay, the Lord makes it clear here that he was going to give Kaniah over to Nebuchadnezzar and the Chaldeans, whom he lived in fear of them, but he didn't live in fear of God. God was much greater than Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians, but he did not fear God. Look at verse number 26 here. Says, and I will cast thee out and thy mother that bare thee into another country where ye were not born, and there shall ye die. So it mentions dear old mom again here. He's told that not only was the Lord going to cast him out of Judah into captivity in Babylon, but his mother, the widowed queen, would suffer the same fate. Added to that, he is told that he is going to die in Babylon. Those that were carried away into captivity in Babylon, they longed to return back to Judah. And we see that longing in different places. There's some psalms that were written during that time of the longing that they had for a home. And that was not going to happen for Kaniah or his mother. Look at verse... let's see here. Let me mention this here. The verse 27, it says, but to the land whereunto they desire to return, thither shall they not return. Now, this speaks of both Kaniah and his mother. Neither one of them would return. And the change in person there from using the second person to the third person, you know, begins referring to them as they. It expresses alienation. It's as if the king were put out of the Lord's sight, unworthy of being spoken to by the Lord. They would desire to return, but they would not be of the ones who would return after the captivity. Now, verse 28, look at what it says here. Is this man, Kaniah, a despised, broken idol? Is he a vessel wherein is no pleasure? Wherefore are they cast out, he and his seed, and are cast into a land which they know not? Now, Kaniah had been looked on when he first came to the kingship, been looked on by the people of Judah. Remember, the people of Judah had been tired of Dad. He was wicked against them, and so they had high hopes that maybe Jehoiakim, Kaniah, or whatever you want to call him, that he would be better than his dad. They had hopeful expectation, and so he was idolized early on by the people of Judah, and I just imagine he kind of ate that up when he first got on the throne. The people were ready to adore him when they saw him upon the throne, but then he became a despised, as he became as despised as a broken idol. I mean, they looked up to him almost like an idol, but then he quickly fell. There was nothing there that was any better than his dad. Look at verse number 29 here. He says, O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, write ye this man childless, a man that shall not prosper in his days, for no man of his seed shall prosper, sitting upon the throne of David and ruling any more in Judah. Now, there was a time when Kaniah had been delighted in by Judah, but exiled in Babylon, that was no longer the case. And the meaning here is that in verse 29 and 30 is that no man of Kaniah's seed would prosper by sitting upon the throne of David. In him, the line of David was extinct as a royal line. Some think that he had children born in Babylon, and that they died before him, because it mentions his seed there being cast out in verse number 28. And we read in the genealogy of 1 Chronicles 3:17 that he had seven sons, the seven sons of Jeconiah Asir, A-S-S-I-R, which means Jeconiah the captive. That's what that word Asir means. That's in 1 Chronicles 3:17. So, Jeconiah the captive had seven sons, of whom Salathiel is the first, and who is found in the genealogy of our Lord in Matthew 1, verse 12. But Salathiel, nor any of his brothers, ruled as kings of Judah. None of them ruled. Therefore, Kaniah was childless in Judah. I mean, he didn't have any children to sit on the throne in Judah. Third thing we see here is we see that God allowed Nebuchadnezzar to conquer Judah and carry Jehoiakim and Judah, their best people, into captivity. Let's turn back to our text over in 2 Kings 24. And let's begin there with verse number 10 and 11. We'll see there just a minute. The sins of Jehoiakim, along with every wicked king of Judah before him, and the wickedness of the people of Judah too, both them and their forefathers, had some very severe and serious consequences that the Lord had already spoken of was going to come. And here they're hitting. We see them taking place. Look at chapter 24 of 2 Kings, and look at verse number 10 and 11 here. It says, at that time the servants of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up against Jerusalem, and the city was besieged. When you would besiege a city, you would surround it. Nothing comes in, nothing goes out. And you basically just kind of starve it to death until they surrender. You know, you don't really have to go in and fight a battle. You just stay there, and if anybody tries to get out, you kill them. And so they're besieging Jerusalem. Look at verse 11. And Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came against the city, and his servants did besiege it. So They laid siege to the city of Jerusalem. Verse 12, we see here, look at verse 12, and Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, went out to the king of Babylon. See, it worked. Lay siege to it, comes to a point there, okay, I surrender. So he comes out to surrender. So he comes out, he and his mother and his servants and his princes and his officers, and the king of Babylon took him in the eighth year of his reign. Now, talking about the eighth year of the king of Babylon's reign, okay, not Jehoiakim, because Jehoiakim only reigned 3 months and 10 days. All right, so Jehoiakim, along with his mother and his servants and his princes, they surrender there, and his officers, to Nebuchadnezzar. And we see there in verse number 15 also says, and he carried away Jehoiakim to Babylon, and the king's mother and the king's wives and his officers and the mighty of the land, and those carried he into captivity from Jerusalem to Babylon. So it reiterates there that they were carried away. Now, verse 13 tells us what happened with the temple and the treasures of the king's house. Look at verse 13. And he carried out thence all the treasures of the king, all the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house, and cut in pieces all the vessels of gold which Solomon, king of Israel, had made in the temple of the Lord, as the Lord had said. The Lord had said this was going to happen. The temple was stripped of its treasures, and the vessels of gold cut in pieces and carried away. The king's house was stripped of its treasures. All of that fulfilled the prophecy, Isaiah's prophecy, to Hezekiah. Remember? Isaiah gave that prophecy to Hezekiah after he foolishly showed the Babylonian ambassadors, spies, everything he had. He said, because you were so foolish to show them everything, all that's going to be carried away into Babylon one day. And so that's exactly what we see here. The fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah, of the word of the Lord by Isaiah. Now, look at verse 14. It says, and he carried away all Jerusalem and all the princes and all the mighty men of valor, even 10,000 captives and all the craftsmen and smiths. None remained save the poorest sort of the people of the land. Okay. Look at verse 16. And all the men of might, even 7,000, and craftsmen and smiths, 1,000, all that were strong and apt for war, even them the king of Babylon brought captive to Babylon. So Judah was conquered. And all but the poorest and infirm, you know, there was no way that they wanted anything to do with those that were poor and infirm. They wanted the healthy ones. And these folks weren't going to cause them any trouble. You know, when you got the poor people and you got those that are sick and afflicted, and no problem. And so all the strong were carried away captive to Babylon. Jehoiakim was carried to Babylon and imprisoned there for 37 years. And, you know, may we never forget that a man's sin can affect others beyond himself. You know, it just didn't affect just Jehoiakim. It just didn't affect these the evil people in Judah. It also affected those that were part of the remnant. They were carried away as well. And then we see last of all here in 2 Kings 25 now, 2 Kings 25 toward the end, we see Jehoiakim found grace after 37 years in prison. Notice verse number 27, 2 Kings 25, verse number 27. Says, and it came to pass in the 37th year of the captivity of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, that's 37 years, okay, in the 12th month, on the 27th day of the month, that evil Merodach, okay, king of Babylon, in the year that he began to reign, did lift up the head of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, out of prison. So, a new king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, died. And this is the beginning of evil Merodach's short reign. He didn't reign up very long himself, but nevertheless, he releases Jehoiakim from prison, and he it says there in verse 28 that he spoke kindly to him. Look at verse 28. And he spake kindly to him and set his throne above the throne of the kings that were with him in Babylon. Now what that means there is that, in other words, he was set above all the other kings of the nations that were defeated by Babylon, whose kings were carried into captivity also. Okay, now, of all the captive kings, he was set above them. And then verse 29 says, and changed his prison garments, and did eat bread continually before him all the days of his life. Now, Jehoiakim was allowed to change out of his prison garments. He's no longer in prison. Allowed to change. He gave him a change of clothes. One of the more demeaning parts about being a prisoner is having to wear the prison garments that distinguish you as being a prisoner. In fact, you'll notice a lot of times if you've ever sat in on a criminal trial, which I have, they don't bring the defendant in there in their jail attire. The smart attorney will say that's going to prejudice the jury into thinking he's guilty just because he's in that attire. And so they will have him change into he'll be wearing a nice suit and got a nice haircut. He probably looks nothing like he did when he committed the crime. And I'm sure Jehoiakim didn't look anything like he did while he was in prison. He was allowed to change out, and he also ate at the king's table there, according to verse 29. And then verse 30, look at verse 30. And his allowance was a continual allowance given him of the king, a daily rate for every day, all the days of his life. So his needs were supplied for as long as he lived, but he died in Babylon. Now, we're not told anything about why evil Merodach treated Jehoiakim with these kindnesses. It was an extraordinary act of grace bestowed on an undeserving king. That ought to remind us of the extraordinary acts of grace bestowed on us as hell-deserving sinners that we were. Amen. Jesus set us free, and Jesus blessed us. He clothes us with his own righteousness. He feeds us in his house and at his table. He meets our every need for as long as we live, when we're going to live forever. Amen. And so that's the evil reign of Jehoiakim, Jeconiah, or Kaniah. Ever how you want to refer to him. I think I've referred to him all three of those names. Okay. All the same person. But next week, Lord willing, we're going to take a look at our final king of Judah. Finally down to the final king, Zedekiah, king by the name of Zedekiah. He's in Josiah's line also. But things aren't going to go very well for him either. Okay, we're going to see Zedekiah. And we're going to see Jeremiah has a few things to say about him also. And so that's our Bible study for this evening. We'll pull out our prayer list, pray for the needs that we have there, and we'll be dismissed with this prayer.